During his 40-year career with Sesame Street, composer Christopher Cerf wrote hundreds of songs to help children learn to read, write, and understand the world.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
That music was welcomed in millions of American households. In my house, it brought me running from the kitchen with my bag of Cheez-Its so I could watch the gang on Sesame Street. So it probably came as something of a shock to Christopher that the same music meant something entirely different to detainees at Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib. To them, it meant torture. And it's not the first time music has been used for torture, and it wasn't just Sesame Street tunes either. Everything from Barney.
I love you, you love me, we're a happy family.
Sleep with one eye open.
To Metallica. David Gray. It's all been used to brutalize detainees. Still, the discovery that the music he wrote for children was being used as a weapon of war sent Cerf on a journey. To find out more about how and why music is used for torture, that journey is the subject of a new Al Jazeera World documentary titled Songs of War, and songwriter and composer Chris Cerf joins us now in studio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks.
40 years writing music, and I've been singing my whole life, and I'm 42. But first, describe to me the moment when you first found out that the same music you'd written for small children was being used to torture prisoners.
Well, I learned it by degrees. Back in 2003, I read a piece from the BBC, actually, who had found that the Army PSYOPs guys in Fort Bragg had worked out a way that on the battlefield right after the Iraq War started, that when prisoners, we're not supposed to call the guys in Guantanamo prisoners, of course, but they're detainees, otherwise the Geneva Convention would apply. But,
right.
But when they caught guys on the battlefield and wanted to interrogate them to get information for just the war, they would play loud music, keep them awake, flashlights in their eyes. And I read then that they were using Sesame Street music. And I was both horrified and bemused, actually, because I'm a humorist, too. I have a sense of satire. And it just struck me as awfully odd that songs that Elmo, for example, might be used to torture prisoners or to get information from them. I was hoping that maybe I could help somebody find the WMD, the Weapons of Mass Destruction, and that my music would be responsible, but I don't think that happened.
No, but you could have just continued to read newspaper reports and continued to be both amused and horrified, but instead you tried to find out more about it. Why?
Well, I think the fact that it was being used in detention camps was, I took a little more seriously, but I didn't really think I was ever going to get a chance to learn really what happened. But I was contacted by a friend from Germany named Tristan Chytrashek, who's a director, and he had the idea of doing a documentary and asked me whether I'd be interested in helping him track the story down, and I was fascinated by the idea.
So what did you find out?
Well, I found out a lot. Basically, I actually even was subjected to this a little bit.
Tortured you with your own music?
With my own music, yes. And I have to agree, it was pretty bad.
When it's really, really loud and continuous, it becomes very loud.
First I was insulted, but maybe Sesame Street music, very, very loud, played for hours over and over again, is not the most pleasant thing in the world. It isn't.
Well, for this documentary, and you're speaking with Chris Cerf, a songwriter and composer, who's the subject of a new Al Jazeera World documentary titled Songs of War. You spoke with Muazzam Beg, who's a former detainee in U.S. prisons in both Afghanistan and Guantanamo Bay. Here's how he describes the way the music was used.
I'm pretty certain you would be saying that I can't hear myself think. And that's the precise point, because if you can't hear yourself think, you can't think. If you can't think, you have no control of your senses. If you have no control of your senses, you are, for all intents and purposes, a completely vegetated person. And that's the point, to put somebody in an almost vegetative state where they are simply ready to say anything, comply with anything, only so that the music can be turned up.
I mean, I can't imagine what that's like for a composer who writes something especially for kids, to engage them and to make them happy or to help them learn, to hear somebody describing your own music that way.
Well, right. Well, it's true. The point I try to make, though, is that I tried to keep in perspective that it wasn't really important that it was my music, because if it wasn't my music, it would have been somebody else's music. And if it wasn't music at all, it would be noise. And I think it's really just the constant noise, as Mosan Beg said, if you can't think, you have no ability to have self-control. You're just willing to do anything to make it stop. As I said, that just for 15 or 20 minutes, I was put in an uncomfortable position. Tristan didn't tell me that was going to be part of the drill, but when it came to it, I was really interested to see what it would be like, and it was very unpleasant. I was glad when it was over.
So what makes a song a potential, I don't want to say torture song, but a song that might actually be used to stop someone, as Mosan Beg describes, from thinking? Is it sort of, I mean, I would think if they use Barney or Sesame Street, it's because it's upbeat and it's cheerful with that kind of bouncy beat.
I would think so. Of course, there are cultural things, too. Mosan Beg may or may not have some connection to the Taliban, who don't like music at all. You know, my problem with what was done to him is he was detained without charges, you know, for years. And he never had any chance to defend himself and was subjected to this. But I think culturally, he grew up in England. So at least he had heard some of this music and claims to even like some of it. I have to admit, when I listened to Drowning Pool, when they were torturing me, it had a beat, and I kind of could get into that. But I'm sure that some of the detainees didn't find that music very pleasant either.
Now, Chris Cerf, that is not the kind of music I imagine a Sesame Street composer listening to and enjoying.
Well, it had a beat to get me through 5 minutes. Let's put it that way. Hearing Sesame Street, we didn't even have that. But I was just kept thinking, good gosh, what an insult that my music is that bad, you know. But
I have to say, having to hear Lamb Chop sing the song that never ends over and over would probably be enough for me. I would tell them everything.
Anything you want to know. I think It's a Small World would be the song that would do me in.
Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. But, I mean, it wasn't just, certainly, music has not just been used for torture. Music has been used as an instrument of war for centuries. I mean, I think one of the reasons the bagpipe was developed was to frighten people as the Scots came running down the field. So what kind of reflections did you end up having as a composer, a person for whom music is your livelihood, about the use of music to intimidate, to torture in this particular case, but just to be used as an instrument of violence?
Well, you know, I was not a big fan of the Iraq War or the way we handled getting around the Geneva Convention. So in one sense, I was very glad that my music might have been used. Sesame music definitely was, because it gave me a chance to talk about it. But beyond that, it seems to me, to be really honest, that as bad as that is, it's probably better than waterboarding, something like that. I think Mosan Beg used the word tortuous rather than torturous, which is a small change. But the fact is, Mike Ritz, who was the guy who put me through torture and was actually a guy who trained American soldiers to withstand this kind of technique, said that the real trick to it is that when you've stopped thinking, you're willing to do anything, say anything to make it stop. And he said sometimes that isn't the best means of interrogation, because if you'll do anything to make it stop, you'll say anything.
And you can't trust.
You can't trust what you hear.
Well, you say that It's a Small World, might be the song that would make you spill all the beans. So we just figured, you know, just in honor of you. Enjoy, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Enjoy.
I'll just sit here for the next few hours. I have to get into
it. Pump that straight into your headphones at a high volume.
Can you put me in a stress position, too? That
Chris,
would be great.
Sir. Sesame Street composer, subject of the new documentary from Al Jazeera World called Songs of War. Thank you so much. And thank you very much for all of your music for 40 years.
Well, it's been fun writing it. Thank you.
Hearing that song once, it puts me on the borderline. You can find out more on that story at thetakeaway.org. We've been talking about America this hour, what we know, and more often, what we do not know. We asked you what foods were invented in America. We had 10 on our list.
An all-American food would be pan dowdy, and it's a type of cobbler with fruit underneath. It's cakey on top instead of crumbly. And I know for sure because a friend of mine is a food scientist and a food expert, and he confirmed it with me.
Okay. Take the quiz and let us know, 8778-MY-TAKE. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.